he starts. He says, let anyone who is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. That means for the people who are maturing God. Let call for the elders of the church, and they will cheerfully lay hands on the sick, pray over them, anoint them with oil. That's what we've been doing. That's what they've been doing, praise God. And they'll be forgiven their sins and they will be healed. That's basically what the Bible says. So the reason we ask people to come out, or people come out, is because they're calling for the elders of the church. They're walking in faith, they're trusting God, and believing that his hands are laid on them, because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And so as we lay hands on the sick, they shall. Not might, not maybe, but they will recover. And that's what we believe. And we, in this church alone, we've seen many, many people be healed. Is that not right? And you know, we're all a testimony to God's healing at some stage in our lives. And we just thank God for that, that he's a healer. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to just read a very sad version that somebody wrote of the opposite, really, to Psalm 23. And then I want to read Psalm 23. And this version was written by a young woman who committed suicide from getting hooked up to the car exhaust pipe. And this is the what she wrote in, left in the car. King Heroin is my shepherd. I shall always want. He maketh me to lie down in the gutters. He leadeth me beside the troubled waters. He destroyeth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of wickedness. Yea, I shall walk through the valley of poverty, and will fear no evil, for thou, Heroin, art with me. Thy needle and thy capsule comfort me. Thou strippest the table of groceries in the presence of my family. Thou robbest my head of reason. My cup of sorrow runneth over. Surely heroin addiction shall stalk me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the damned forever.
Wow.
It actually broke me when I read this. And she also added to this young woman, she said, jail didn't cure me, nor did hospitalisation help me for long. The doctor told my family it would have been better, and indeed kinder, if the person who got me hooked on dope had taken a gun and blown my brains out, and I wish to God he had. How sad. But we thank God for the many who have found God from their addiction.
Amen.
And we thank God that that person who gave them the dope in the first place didn't put a gun to their head, because that would have robbed them of the opportunity of salvation.
Yeah.
And that is what our Father God has to offer.
Yeah.
It's salvation.
Amen.
Release from the addiction.
Yeah.
So I want to read Psalm 23 and just listen to the words, the proper version. The version that we can claim is ours. And that King David, that shepherd David, wrote to our Father God. We can say it so many times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen.
He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Wow.
Amen.
What
a contrast. Yeah, as Christians, we don't have, you know, happy, happy time all the time. Life isn't easy all the time. Don't ever think, we would not say to anybody, come to Jesus and everything will be okay.
No.
We wouldn't say that, we wouldn't dare to say that to anybody. Because we have a battle on our hands. As Christians, there is a battle to be won.
Yeah.
There is the opposite to God. There's a devil who will try and trip every one of us up. But we have got that promise from God that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And if we cling to our Lord and Father Jesus Christ, he will lift us up from where we are. He will put us back on the mountain. If we'll just hold on to our Heavenly Father, he will bless us and he will meet our every need, because he is there for us. So take heart, people. We don't want this as our testimony. But we want the Word of God, Psalm 23, to be the version that we remember and that we cling to.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God, thank you, Jesus.
It was ladies first. Later. Just following on from that, really, in a way that, I mean, this afternoon was great. Have you heard the laughter this afternoon? Laughing in the church. Whoa! That's, you know, a lot of years ago you wouldn't have dared laugh in a church. It was very, everything's very serious. Well, yeah, God is serious. But God is not miserable. And it wasn't the devil that invented a sense of humour.
No,
God invented.
Yeah.
Because he does say laughter does good like a medicine.
Yeah.
It's as good as a medicine. I think you mentioned it earlier, didn't you? Yeah, laughter does good like a medicine.
Yeah.
The other day, a young man said that it was too bad to go to church. The things he'd done, he says he didn't feel that he could go to church. And a few people actually talked to him and tried to convince him that he was good enough. Because nobody is good enough, yet everybody is good enough for one reason. Because Jesus made it that we're good enough.
That's it.
Because it's not us that have to be good.
No.
Jesus is the one that's good.
Mm.
And all we have to do is to accept Jesus into our lives.
Yeah.
And there's, while we're talking to this young man, and I just listened, there were plenty of people there to speak at the time. But something came to me that a lot of people know that Jesus died on the cross. But not so many people know of something that happened when he died. And I just want to read, first of all, a little bit of scripture out of Matthew chapter 27. And it's verse 51. And you also find the same thing in Luke as well. But Matthew 27, verse 51. In fact, I'll read verse 50 as well. This is when Jesus is on the cross, he's been there, and he's at the point of death now. It says, "And Jesus cried up again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." And it says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Now that might not mean much to you, but you've got to start and look at what the temple was and what it represented. Now if I look back into the Old Testament, back into Exodus, which is one of the earliest books in the Bible, and look at, was it chapter 26 in Exodus? Now a lot of the old Bible books, the Jewish nation had these written down. There were rules and regulations about how they worshipped and the celebration of the different feast days and everything. And this in Exodus 26, verse 33, tells us about the temple and the curtain in the tabernacle. Now the tabernacle were like a church, but you had an outer area where everybody could go, and in a place which were a bit more restricted, and then you had what you call a very restricted place called the Holy of Holies, where only one high priest could go once a year. And the reason that that was kept so secure, that was where God came and dwelt and had his presence. Oh, you can't hear me, but I want it. Let's get this on me and then I'm... So that's where the children, the priest went once a year, and he went into that Holy of Holies to sacrifice something, to make an atonement for the sins of all the people. It was only representative because it could never actually work. It was only a guide to what was going to happen sometime in the future, as was then. But let me just read this, Exodus chapter 26, verse 33. It's talking about this veil that was hanging between what they call the holy place and this Holy of Holies that nobody could go into. And it says, "You shall hang up the veil under the clasps and shall bring in the ark of the testimony there within the veil. And the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And you shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the Holy of Holies." And that was a very private place. Now, at the bottom of my Bible, in this sheet, it gives a bit of an explanation of that, the reason they had the curtains and this holy place. And it says, "The veil, literally a separation, was hung between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. Its function was to separate all men, even the priests, from the presence of God. Only one man, the high priest, went beyond that veil, and he was permitted to do so only once a year on the Day of Atonement. His purpose was to take the blood of the bull and the goat for his sins and the sins of the people." Well, it meant, in effect, that man was separated from God because of sin. That's all. That curtain was what represented there. So when Jesus died on that cross, and that veil was torn in two, that wasn't just an accident. That gave every single one of us access into that holy place, that Holy of Holies, right in the presence of God. And none of us are worthy to go there. None of us are good enough to go there. And like that young man the other day felt he wasn't worthy to go to church. He wasn't good enough to go to church. Jesus is turning around to every single one of us without exception and telling you, you're good enough to come.
Amen.
There's nothing holding you back from coming to church, to coming into God's presence. He says, when I ripped the curtain from top to bottom, and God did that, he says, I'm opening up my presence to you, every single one of you.
Amen.
It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever comes and believes on him will be saved. Whosoever is everybody, or everybody that chooses to, because we always have a choice. So let me turn to something else, just to wrap this up. I'm looking for Hebrews, and it's disappeared. Hebrews chapter 9. This is an explanation in the New Testament now, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11. It says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not to say of this creation, because all we saw in the Old Testament was just a copy or a shadow or an indication of what Jesus were going to do. It says, not made with hands, that is not to say of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more the blood of Christ?
Yeah.
Jesus put his own blood on the altar. He put his own blood on the altar so we could be cleansed from our sin to come into the presence of God. And nobody has a personal right to come in. The only right that we've got to come in is through the blood of Jesus. And every single one of us, without exception, has that right. In verse 24 says, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus has made the link between us and God the Father, and that's what it's all about. That's the whole reason that Jesus came, to re-establish the link between us and God. And while none of us are good enough, like I said, every one of us are good enough. You will never be shut out of God's church, God's presence. If you come with a heart's desire to reach God, God will come to you. And God will let you in. He's taken the curtains away. There is no partition now between you and God. You know, if you go back, I'm not quite sure, it's 200, 300, 400 years, Tyndale and others, they were trying to get the Bible to the ordinary person. You know, in those days, the ordinary person in this country couldn't get hold of a Bible because the priests had a monopoly on it. Because they were living in the fact that Jesus had taken the curtain down and let the ordinary person into his presence. And a lot of Tyndale and others were persecuted trying to get the word of God to the ordinary person. Now, the Word of God has reached the ordinary person. The Bible is in the hands of the ordinary person, where it should be. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with the Word of God that you've got available to you? Because God's brought us into His presence for a reason, because He wants us there. You know, there's many things pull us away from that connection. Pauline was saying that about the girl that had lost the connection because somebody had dragged her into drugs, and that had become the thing on which she revolved round. Nothing else mattered, because she'd got hooked on drugs. Jesus came to set us free.
Amen.
All the things that would lock us out of His presence, He came to clear them out of the way, so we would come. And we don't have to struggle like they did in this country hundreds of years ago just to get to read the Word of God. There's areas of the world that die to get hold of the Word of God. They struggle to get them into China, into Islamic countries. They don't have the Word of God in there. They don't have it, because it'll set the people free.
Amen.
And when you've got a religion that lives on hatred and oppression, it's not a religion of love. We have it's not a religion. That's really fall short of what we are. A relationship with God through Jesus. We've got that. And we've got it in freedom. And we need to value it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that we see week by week and trying to reach out to, it's not to bring you into our church or anything. It's that you might get hold of God for yourselves. And the things that are pulling you, whether it be drugs or drink or peer pressure or whatever else, is pulling you. We want God to see God break that and release you into His freedom to live your life to the full. Because God's got your best at heart. And if you've come in today for whatever reasons you think you've come in, I tell you, God's got His hand on you.
Yeah. Amen.
He'll never take away your free will, your will to choose, but He'll, somewhere along the line, He'll bring you into that place where you can just hear His word.
Yeah.
And then you choose what you do when you hear His word. Amen.
Young lads and lass, something that happened this week to me, to let you know that God, when you've got a problem and you give it to God, He will answer.
Amen.
And it seems a little and an insignificant thing, but He answered. And it's just about when you give that request to Him, believing He's going to answer your prayer, but not putting how it's going to happen. At home, our shower broke down. Now, I can do without the bath, but the shower, especially to do my hair, because I have to wash it every morning before I go to work, that is a catastrophe, folks. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? This is stressing me out through the day. What am I going to do tomorrow when I've got to go to work? And Philip, that morning, brought up a measuring jug, you know, a kitchen measuring jug, and said, here, Olive, there's a measuring jug. Get the water in the measuring jug. And, you know, I thought, I can't be doing with that. Can't be doing with that. So when it got to when I finished working at the school I work at, I got into the car and I said, right, Lord, I'm going to go and see. If I can find one of these attachments, don't know if you've ever seen them, there's two parts where you put on the tap and then it goes into like mixer and there's the little shower head at the bottom. Yeah? Right, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever tried to get hold of one of them? Nah, impossible, I'll tell you now. So I went to Dunham Mills. No. And I'm thinking, I'd finished school at 3:15 and I've got to be at my next job at 5:30, so I've not got very long to sort this out. So No success at Dunham Mills. Gets, the lady there says, try Wicks just down the corner. Went down to Wicks. It is Wicks, isn't it? Yeah. No way. That's a building place. I mean, they're not going to have this started off. So I'm getting in the car and I'm getting stressed up and I'm thinking, God, this is not good. What do I... I'm going to have to give it to you, Lord. I'm going to have to really get me one of these things, please, Lord. And Smith and Wigglesworth says, when you get to the end of your faith, rely on God to do the rest. So I thought, I'm relying on you, God. And I got this, Lawrence Brothers. So I said, right, Lord, I'm going to go to Lawrence Brothers. And if they haven't got one, I shall not stress out. So I tootled off down to Lawrence Brothers, walked into the shop, made my way straight to the lady behind the counter. And I said to her, have you got one of these? And I tried to describe it. She says, follow me. So I followed her. One. Just one left in the shop. But then I'm thinking, oh, I'm looking at this end and I'm thinking, will it fit our taps? That's the other thing, you see. So I bought it, got home, and our Luke got it. So I, and I said, oh, Luke, yeah, I think it'll fit the kitchen taps, but I don't think it'll fit bathroom taps. So he dashed upstairs. And yes, it did. Bingo. So that was it. I could get to my next job on time as well. Not all fired up trying to get there, too stressed out. And I thought, I've got peace. Tomorrow morning, I can get up and wash my hair. A small little incident, but I hope it helps you to know God is real. And if he'll do it for me, he'll do something for you as well. Amen. Only believe. All right.
Well, I'm a bit nervous, me, when I get up, so you'll have to bear with me. Right. Well, I know people come to church and they think, look at people and think, well, they've got no problems and things, yeah. But we've all got problems and we've all had problems. And when I was 35, I had a nervous breakdown. And it was terrible. I felt so alone because no one seemed to understand. My husband didn't understand, my mum didn't understand, and I've got two children. And in fact, to tell you the truth, they used to shout at me. You know, get up off of that settee and look after your children. And but I couldn't. I felt so ill. And yes, I was on drugs like you, but from the doctor. And they kept giving me one different one after the other. And I was still poorly. And after my husband had gone to work and my children had gone to school, I used to sit there all alone. And I used to pray and pray from morning, noon and night. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I started to write it down, like as if I were telling somebody, because there was nobody there. And this is only, they're only little short ones, but this was called Alone. To be alone is very sad. To have no friends is twice as bad. A cup of tea, a little chat, that's all one needs, a deed to brighten up their day. And this is another one I wrote. be brave, my sad heart says. Have faith, my sad heart says. For you will see a brighter day when the skies are blue and the stars shine bright. Have faith and you will see a new tomorrow bloom for you. Yeah. And I never give up. And I used to pray every day and get shouted at every day. And this is another one. I feel so sad, so very sad. I wish that I was better. Just to think the things I could do, just simple things would do for me. To clean the house, to go to town, to ride a bike and fly a kite. These simple things would do. But it took me 5 years before I got better. But I never lost faith. And I often think, I wish I'd have known, well, I did know Andrew and Grace. But I just wish I could have been in contact with them. Now, I've only been coming here 3 years, but I feel very happy, a lot happier, and I feel I've got all these loving, this loving family, that I love them all so much. And it's lovely to have an extended family, because all my brothers and sisters have died. So, you know, and I call my friend Pat my sister.
Yeah.
And all of you are my sisters, my brothers, and I love you all. And it, this is, I found this. Life's pathway. At times, life's path seems filled with things that make the going rough, and we wish there were a smoother road, for we feel we've had enough. But if we pause a moment and remember who's in charge, the hills that loom ahead of us no longer seem so large, and every rock before us, when we know we're not alone, becomes not just a stumbling block, but one more stepping stone. You've overcome so many things, and every time you've grown, through sheer determination and the wisdom that you've shown. So as you face your journey, from the moment you begin, know that God will guide you, and you will have the strength to win.
Yeah.
So that, I hope that helps everyone.
6 pages.
Have you not? Yeah. Right, yeah, we were truly blessed yesterday when we heard about thankfulness. And I was thinking about it and dwelling on what was said yesterday. And, you know, it's a decision that we have to make to be happy sometimes. You know, I mean, we are creatures that get affected by what's going on around us. And we get affected by the circumstances.
Yeah.
And yet as Christians, we're supposed to get affected by what's in us, which is God.
Yeah.
And it's so easy, and I'm probably more guilty than most, because I am so easily swayed by what's going on. Because I'm, you know, I've got a lot cooking at the moment with my mum and what have you. And I used to have a pretty stressful job. And everything, you know, gets on you. And I made a conscious decision last night that that Thanksgiving's a way of life.
Yeah.
That if you're going to enjoy a life, it's not a rehearsal, you only get one go at it. You're not here on practice run. I've got a badge somewhere that says this life is not a rehearsal.
Yeah.
So you've only got one stab at it, so you might as well enjoy it.
Praise God.
And so I've made a decision that I'm going to enjoy my life. I don't care whether anybody else does or not, but I'm going to enjoy my life.
Amen.
And something must already be happening, because Edwin said when I came in today that I was much more cheerful, packing your job in's done you good, because you look like, you know, you're back to your old self. So I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I was reading this morning, and I was into 1 Peter. You can see it's getting a bit worn out now. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And this is the New Living Translation. All honour to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again.
Yeah.
Now we live with a wonderful expectation, because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children, and it's kept in heaven for you. Pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation, because you are trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. Okay, oh, hang on a minute. We were talking about joy and now we've gone on to trials. What's going on? Well, you see, when you make a decision that you're not going to let your trials and your situation get on your nerves, you can go through them joyful. And again, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you don't get wound up by what's going on, if you don't allow yourself to get stressed out, you don't allow yourself to get depressed, and you enjoy your life, you get a better relationship with each other and a better relationship with God. You know, you've got more to live for. And you'll actually enjoy more about what you're doing, what you're doing, if you get on with God and you
try and thing it. It tells us here, starting in verse 7, that these trials are only to test your faith. Mm. So these trials are not there to wind you up, they're there for a better purpose, and that's to test your faith. Mm. And to test your faith to show that it is strong and pure. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And we know how that happens, don't we? They just keep heating it up and keep skimming all impurities off and heating it up more and more and more until they get all the impurities out, and then they've got something great to look at. And that's what God's doing to us. Have you noticed how when things don't start going your way, you start getting a bit het up and a bit bothered, and you know, you start throwing things around, you have a little wobbler here and you bite somebody's head off. It's just the impurities that's coming out. Yeah. What's actually in your heart will come out at those times. And Kenneth Copeland tells a story, doesn't he, about he was hanging around his aeroplane one day, and he was in the hangar. Good place to hang about in a hangar, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he was in there, and one of his engineers came walking round, and he walked into the wing of the aeroplane, and he came out with some choice words. And then he saw Kenneth Copeland, and he says, "Oh, Brother Cole, I'm so sorry." He goes, "Hey, don't, just chill out." He says, "Now we know what's in your heart." Because it's when crises arise, it's when things start going wrong, that we really and truthfully find out what's in your heart. And sometimes you surprise yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you didn't think it were there. Sometimes you might just say a wrong word. Sometimes it might be an expression. Sometimes we get ourselves feeling guilty about being tempted. And there's nothing wrong in being tempted. We're all tempted. But it's what we do with that temptation. When you're tempted to do something you shouldn't do, you just don't do it. It's like taking that thought captive. You know, if you're taking things that are going to start and exalt themselves above God, you say, I'm not going down that line. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is you just check yourself and stop. And so if we start doing that, and we start getting used to the idea that when things are not going right, they're not going wrong because God's against us, they're going wrong because God wants to move us on.
Amen.
And we don't appreciate that at the time, you know, we'd much rather leave us alone and that we can have a nice, comfortable life. But have you noticed when things are the same day in and day out, it gets boring? And then life's not fun anymore. I mean, we had quite fun. I mean, we were saying yesterday, it was the first time Glyn's ever been to Meadowell. It was the first time a few of us had been on the tram. You know, and so, you know, there were quite a few firsts yesterday, and we had a good time. And we had a laugh in church, you know. We had quite a good session during there. And like I was saying, Andrew, speaking on thankfulness, lots of good stuff that he was speaking on. There were lots of encouragement there, and yet it's also easy for you just to get miserable and fed up. You know, you could have thought, I mean, we've heard that, excuse me, the music was off key, it was a bit loud, it would be easy to get caught up with the things that were bad about it. And yet there were lots of good things that were good about it as well. And the thing is, what was it that got you? Did you go and did you get the positive stuff, and did you feed on the positive stuff? Because it would still have been just as easy to go away and then start saying how rubbish it were. And yet it weren't. Because when you go and you seek and you're heart after God, you're finding out what God's got, what he's got for you. And when you start dwelling on the positive things, and not the negative things, you start feeding on the positives. God's got such great blessings for us that he can move us out in this. So when we know that our trials are there to help us. And that tells us then, if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And if we skip to verse 13, it tells us to think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you're his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. For he himself has said, "You must be holy because I am holy." And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favourites when he judges. He will judge you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners here on earth. Fancy being called a foreigner. You know, we think we live here, don't we? But yet we're all foreigners, because earth, we're just passing. Our home's elsewhere, isn't it? Our home's in heaven. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him for this purpose long before the world began. But now in these final days he was sent to the earth for all to see, and he did this for you. So he did this, he did everything for us, and it's like I say, I've made a choice that I'm going to enjoy my life.
Amen.
And I've missed out on quite a lot, but it's never too late to start, is it?
No.
You know, I mean, you know, we've all done it, we've all, quite a lot of us have fallen into this category, we get depressed so easily. But anybody sees me getting depressed, I want you to encourage me not to be depressed. Because I've also decided I'm going to do the same to you. Because as a fellowship, we need to move. And we need to move in what God's got for us.
Yeah.
We need to move in the things that God's planned for us. And people are not going to be attracted to God if we are as miserable as sin.
No.
So we've got to live the life that God called us to live. Enjoy the life that God called us to live. And I know, just from this short period of time today, that actually making a conscious effort to look for the good things and to concentrate on the good things, even in your short time, as I say, Edwin noticed earlier on, but I even feel different already.
Amen.
And so it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we've been giving praise to God. So I just encourage you all to continue in that way.
Amen.
Well, I need to follow that. This morning, in the church in Sheffield, I was supposed to be finishing off the subject, or finishing off my notes of Thanksgiving, of which I had a couple of pages left, but I can't stick to notes very long. If that anointing falls, then stuff notes and we'll just go wherever it goes. And whilst we were in that church this morning, they were praising God, and God brought a scripture to my mind that you've heard me quote many times, and I decided to read it again. And if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn with me to 2 Chronicles and chapter 20, the second book of Chronicles, and chapter 20, and verse 20. This is the story of, and you've heard me talk about Jehoshaphat, and what does he do? No, Jehoshaphat. What does he do? It's Jael, who's a fast chariot driver. Jehoshaphat, his kingdom is being surrounded by three kings, three armies, and he goes to God and he says to God, what do I do? And what did God say to him?
Praise me.
Yeah. Set the singers up front. And you know, I've often talked about that, haven't I? You know, I've mentioned it many times. Well, suddenly I saw something additional too that was quickened to me this morning. So from verse 20 it says, and they arose in early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. When they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, put your trust in your God and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord. Listen, musicians, singers. He appointed those who sang to the Lord and who praised him in holy attire. And that hit me this morning. Now, the King James Version doesn't say that, does it? Says, praise him in the beauty of holiness. And we have read that many times. I've been a Christian now for 30 odd years and I've read that many times. And it's like, in praise him in the beauty of holiness. And I've never asked the question, what is the beauty of holiness? And nobody's ever said to me what the beauty of holiness is. Nobody's ever brought it up before. Have you ever heard it brought up before? And suddenly reading in my Bible, my translation, which is the New American Standard, it says holy attire.
holy priestly garments in the Amplified.
And in the Amplified, yeah, it says holy priestly garments. And in the Message it says dressed in holy robes. There's a way we approach God. There's a way we come before God. There should be, to musicians, there should be a preparation before you even get up there. I said this morning, you know, you're surrounded by three armies. You're outnumbered. At least 3-1. Great odds, isn't it? You know? Uh-huh. And then the king says, you know, you're not a warrior. The king says, oh, by the way, what we're going to do is we're going to get the choir, we're going to get all the singers, and we're going to stick them out front. And the army at the back says, that's a good idea, that. Smart thinking, Jehoshaphat. Use them as cannon fodder. We'll hide behind him. You know. Hey? Take some of the arrows and the spears, let him kill the singers. Sound like a good idea, you know. I mean, if you'd have heard some of the choir yesterday, you'd have think, God. Bless you, there's a lady that started out there, and oh, glory to God, hallelujah, praise God, amen, amen, amen. Okay, God, I'll focus on you. I just focus on you, Jesus. Do not, you know, I could hear people behind me, I could sense people behind me, and I thought, no way, I am not being fazed by this, hallelujah. Shut your eyes and just focus on Jesus, you know. And I mean, it was desperate at one stage, but bless them, that's fine. But, you know, just imagine this picture. There's these warring army, you know, the horses are stamping, they're chomping at the bits. And the king says, oh, we're going to put the choir up front. You know, choir master first, you know, choir leader. That's you, Daniel. You up front. Behind you is your mother, you know. It's like, okay, yeah. And then the army stands behind and says, go on, get them, go on. Give it to him. Yeah, go on. Yeah, well back. Smart move, King. But it wasn't that. It wasn't cannon fodder he was using them for. He was using them because God told him to put the singers. He was saying, the people that will praise me, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the circumstances is, stick them out front. Because those are the people that are going to bring the victory. Those are the people that are going to change the dynamics of the situation that is around you right now.
Amen.
Those are the people that will change the dynamics, that will change the spiritual dynamics of what is going on. They will change things. They will change the situation. They will change the circumstance. And you will have a victory.
Amen.
Now that seems strange, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Hey, how can you change a guy, you know, a pile of guys with arrows and spears by singing at them? I don't know. There's a dynamic. You see, what you have to realize, that God is spirit. And that as we sing to God and as we worship God with our spirit, we touch a different dimension.
Yeah, that's it.
God is not tangible by your hands right now. None of you can ever say, I've seen God at this stage. We hear the name God. And the only way we can demonstrate God and Jesus to you is the fact of when we lay hands on you and we pray with you, and sometimes there is a sense and a feeling of a presence. There are other times when we pray for things to happen, for a job. And God provides a job. Situations change like that. When people come out and they're sick and we pray for them and lay hands on them and instantly they're healed. That tells me that Jesus is still alive. He's still in the business of healing people, setting the captives free. So the Bible goes on in this. This is a history lesson, okay? This is what happened. And verse 22. And when they began to sing the praises, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and so they were routed, so they were driven into a panic situation. For the sons of Ammon and Moab, listen to this, these are the enemies who are standing against the children of Israel, against God's people. These are the enemies that are standing against you and me. You know, put it in that context. It hasn't changed. The moment that you begin to say, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow Jesus, you've just become an enemy of the devil.
Yeah.
War broke out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It ain't going to be easy being a Christian, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said to me once, being a Christian's like falling into a bed of roses. Have you ever fallen into a bed of roses that's full of thorns? Huh? You get torn to shreds. Well, I'm telling you that Jesus has come to set us free.
Yeah.
And so it tells us here that Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir,
yeah,
destroying them completely. So suddenly there's three armies, and two of them get together for some reason, start to slay the other one.
Yeah.
Start killing them.
Yeah.
Now this choir is either seriously bad, yeah, or it's seriously good. And I'll take the second option. But seriously, something is changing the dynamics of the realm of the spirit that is around them at this time. And suddenly they begin to sing and worship. And it says there that they rose up against Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy each other.
Yeah.
I mean, absolute confusion. You see, when God begins to move against the devil, when God begins to move against circumstances that are set against you, you know, sometimes there are plans, people have devised plans against you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you start to praise God, God turns it all around. And He turns their plans into confusion, and He turns their plans into destruction for themselves. And it's happened time after time after time in the Word of God. It's happened in our lives. We can testify how God has turned things around for us. There have been situations that seemed hopeless, seemed helpless.
Yeah.
And that we take it to God.
Yeah.
And God begins that breakthrough. And we take it to God in thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you know my circumstances, you know my situation. And I come to you right now and I just ask you to set me free and to break whatever is trying to hold me back. And I just give you the praise and I give you all the glory. And you begin to focus on victory.
Yeah.
And these guys just began to praise God for the victory that God had promised. You see, what had happened earlier on, the prophet said, just go out there, set the singers out there, and God will destroy your enemy.
Yeah. Amen.
And so he did. Verse 24 says that it gets better as it goes on, this story. And in verse 24, when Judah came to look out over the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying all over the ground. No one had escaped. And then Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoils. They found much among them, including goods, garments, valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days picking up gold, silver, clothing, swords, you name it. They were picking it up for 3 days and taking it home. They hadn't had to fight. All they'd got to do was praise God, give God thanks, give God praise, and God brought a confusion amongst the enemy. They destroyed each other, they cut each other up, they wiped each other out, and then all that had to happen then was the children of Jerusalem just went out and started picking up all the goods.
Amen.
This is a great trip. This is a good God. And let me tell you this, God will do things that you will come out blessed. But it starts with you praise Him.
Yeah.
Even, you know, we started off with that scripture yesterday or the day before. In everything, give thanks. Because this is the will of God. Not that the disaster is the will of God, but you have to give thanks in that, because the will of God is that you give thanks all the time. And as you give thanks, you're not focusing on, as has been said earlier, you're not focusing on the negative. You're not focusing on the things that bring you down, but you're focusing on the things that lift you up. You're focusing on the things that will do you good. Yeah. You're focusing on the things that are going to give you life, yeah, and life more abundantly.
Amen.
And that's the focus that we've got to fix on.
Yeah.
Some people have, you know, you've said in the past that people have said you'll never make it, you'll never be any good, you'll never get off your drugs, you'll never change. Well, I'm telling you, God says you can change, you will change, and you are able to change, and God is able to set you free. Some people have said to you in the past, you'll never amount to nothing. Well, I'm telling you, God says you will. When you meet Jesus and make him Lord, as Lord and Savior, God never invests in a failure. And when you come to God, God never looks at you and says, you're a failure. God starts to say, you're a success.
Yeah.
I have plans and I have a purpose for you.
Yeah.
And it's good plans and it's a good purpose, yeah, and I intend to bless you.
Yeah.
But it's learning to walk the walk. Learning to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then it says in verse 26, it says, and then on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Bacariah, for they were blessed. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named the place the Valley of Bacariah until this day. That name means blessed. The Valley of Blessings.
Yeah.
The Valley of Blessings.
Yeah.
Praise God. We hear at times so much in the Psalms about the Valley of Baca, the place of weeping. But let me tell you this, today there is a valley of blessings.
Yeah, there is.
There's a valley of blessings.
Mm.
Where you can go and pick up the spoils.
Woo.
Where the enemy has destroyed itself.
Amen.
Where the enemy has turned on itself, yeah, and brought destruction on itself.
Yes, thank you, God.
And it all starts with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It all starts with saying, thank you, God. It all starts with saying, I just want to give you praise, God, for what you've done for me. I just want to acknowledge that you're helping me today. I just want to acknowledge that you're pressing me further on into you, and that you're going to change my life, and that I will have a better destiny,
yeah,
than what other people have said about me.
Yeah.
I will be an achiever.
Yes.
I will succeed,
yes,
and I will be a success.
Yes.
Come on, guys. That's the word that God wants for each and every one of us, and includes you. You will be a success.
Amen.
It will take some effort.
Yeah.
It will take some encouragement.
Yes.
And you can get that. And it will take that determination. We heard the meetings that we were in this last week. One of the first messages was about being determined.
Mm.
Being determined. You have to decide.
Yeah.
You have to make your mind up and then say, I'm going for this.
Yeah.
And people and the Word of God gets behind you, and the Word of God gets in you. And I'll tell you, you'll start to see things change.
Amen.
You will see the dynamics of your life changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even if you can't sing good, it don't matter.
No.
Just get out there and start saying, thank you, Lord.
Mm.
If you're out of tune, that's right, Edwin, if you're out of tune, just say, thank you, Lord. God is not bothered whether you're in tune or out of tune. He's looking at what your heart's saying. That's what he's looking at. He's looking, do you really mean it in your heart? That's what he's looking at. And when he knows that you really mean it, guess what? The dynamics start to change.
Yeah.
The dynamics, yeah, start to change. The spiritual dynamics around you change. Situations change. And you know, you can say, well, how does it happen? I don't know. If I did, I'd be like God. I'm still learning myself. But I do know this, things change.
Amen.
When you put God in the center of all things, things change.
Praise God.
Amen.